I keep getting worried I'm going to mess up that countdown bit. Like, I'm just going to say the wrong number.
And then what will happen?
I don't know. Wormhole?
Okay, I was going to say, like, the universe explodes.
That's what wormhole is, I think.
Okay.
I'm not a scientist. I don't know if you know this. I'm not a scientist.
Right, but just saying wormhole, we're all still safe, right?
Oh, I don't know if we actually go in the wormhole.
Right.
Speaking of wormhole, I have a funny wormhole story to tell you that's, in retrospect, it's not funny. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Those are the best stories.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and cut my losses.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 438 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
I need to go and check and make sure that this actually is 438.
Okay. If it isn't, what will happen?
Wormhole.
Wormhole.
It's 438. Okay, good. Whew.
Okay. Thank goodness.
Why is 438? You know what? 438's it's a big number. It's an important number.
Okay, let us know the significance.
It's the highest batting average ever recorded in a major league season.
Wow, I did not know that.
I think it was Hugh Duffy. Of course, it was like 1865. So, you know, like or way back when they were throwing, you know, 16 miles an hour with sawdust filled baseballs.
Right, and there was, you know, basically one guy was pitching for the last 4 days, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mordecai Three Finger Brown was on the hill, and no black players.
Okay, so all just, those things factor
yeah,
in.
Yeah, so all of a sudden it's like, okay, good for you. You're the best.
What'd you really accomplish?
Yeah, so there you go. So I feel like an idiot bringing it up. I should have mentioned 406, episode 406 should have been the big one. That was the last time somebody hit 400, so.
Okay.
That was Teddy Ball game there.
That's great.
Amazon, if you want to buy your useless facts, they must sell them on Amazon. If they don't, I'm going to jump on that market.
You should make a book of useless facts.
I think there's tons of them.
Okay.
I could make a book listing books of useless facts.
Oh, even better, like Kramer's coffee table book.
Exactly. It'd be like I'm trying to make a Dewey Decimal System joke, and I got nothing.
Okay.
Do we need a Dewey Decimal System joke? That's not a, no, we don't. My rice and my seaweed showed up last week, by the way. Did I tell you that?
No, but hooray. You told me you were getting it, but I didn't know. Now it showed up, so.
I have not had time to make sushi since, though.
Great update.
It takes a long time to make sushi.
Okay.
FYI, have you ever made sushi?
No. Gosh.
No. Again, I think we talked about that, like, why would you in Vancouver, but it's actually, don't do it. Don't do it.
Okay. All right.
I was going to say you should do it for the fun, the social part, but you're antisocial and.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a selling point for me.
No. Yeah, you get to talk to people. Oh, forget it. So what is going on in Vancouver, Adam?
Just more of the same. Nice weather, you know, everybody being nice to each other. A world that is a utopia.
May long weekend, though, right?
What's that?
That was last weekend. Was May long weekend?
Yes, it was. Oh, yeah. Forgot we haven't podcasted since that glorious long weekend that was like summer and like 25 degrees every day.
Oh man, that's nice. Yeah. Well, the update here, we finally, winter is I think over as of 2 days ago.
Okay.
Like it was up until like, it was like 3 degrees until 2 days ago, and now it's like 24 or something like that. So it's like, okay, we have summer now.
Nice.
So with that, I'm going to Zurich tomorrow to go play in the Alpine Cup.
Okay.
Baseball tournament in Zurich. That's what I'm doing tomorrow for the weekend.
Yeah, but that's fun. That's a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be live streamed on the internet, so I'll send you the link and you can ignore it.
Okay. That sounds about right.
Yeah. I don't know what to expect, honestly. It's only a couple hour drive going down. Guaranteed two games, and if we win, we go to the finals on Sunday afternoon. So,
is this something that your team has participated in years past?
No.
Okay, no. So this is a first.
Highly controversial.
Okay.
I would like to, my big question is, why are my kids standing 6 centimeters outside of my door screaming their heads off? That's what I'd like to know.
Kind of awesome. I'm enjoying what they have to say.
Oh, it's not even my kids.
Someone else's, neighbor's kids.
It's the neighbor's grandkid.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, the show's hit a new low here.
New podcasting low.
So we haven't been in this tournament before, but we're making an effort this year to play a lot of games, and so we're gonna go down, see how it goes.
Nice.
Yeah. So we opened last week, by the way, just to give the update. We opened. We finally got our season opener. Played in Stuttgart. My first swing of the year. Oh, I thought I had a Yahoo.
Okay, that's a home run. Yeah. For those that don't know.
Yeah, whole park stood up. Guy ran my first at bat, ran a 2-0 count on me, which I love. By the way, 2-0, favorite count.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's when I tear some stitches swinging the ball, because I know I can look. This is what I want Jack to understand. This is the point. Is 2-0 is like the greatest count, because you know he's got a, most guys got to come fastball, which guess what I like hitting? Fastballs.
Yes.
And all the teams in the league kind of, they evidently sort of know me now, and so they all shift, and which is awesome. It's like the entire team plays on the right side of the field, and they actually throw me inside. They entice me into pulling the ball, which I like to do anyways. I still like to hit into their shift, because come on, guys, seriously. But I try to hit home runs then, and then so I got the 2-0 pitch. Hit it pretty well. Thought it was out. Fell just short. Warning track power.
And it got caught.
It got caught. Yeah. So I was 0-for-1. Ended up hitting about two. I think I hit 3 warning track shots, which means I got to hit the gym.
Yeah.
Ended up going 3-for-9, double, single, double, and a couple singles. And we won both games, which is the big thing. So
awesome.
Put together like 28. Something. I think we had 28 hits on the day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
We also had a baseball tournament last weekend.
But that's what I'm leading into, because I hear your son went warning track, but it wasn't a caught.
So close off the center field fence. So
center field.
Nobody hits home runs at his age. 1 year later, because they play in the same parks as 10-year-olds and as 11-year-olds, and right. So this, some of the games they play 10 and 11-year-olds. The spring baseball is mix of 10 and 11 year olds, two age groups together, but the select teams are just your own birth year. So right. He was playing in a select team tournament last weekend, and he put one off the center field wall. Nobody at his age, I've never seen a home run at his age. Mentioned in a previous podcast, one of his friends hit one out of the park, who's 11 and, you know, bigger, stronger than he is, but pretty tough for the kids that are 9 and 10 to put it out of the park. He came real close. I thought it was out. I think everyone thought it was going to be out, but hit the center field wall on the fly, ended up with a triple. He was actually telling me, you know, when he was running down to first base, he was kind of wondering what he was going to do if it went out, because he thought it was going to go out too. Yeah. And so what kind of trot he was going to have for his homer. But anyways, turned out to be a triple. It was pretty exciting either way. Didn't catch it on video, so unfortunately I was not taking any video.
Wasn't his first home run. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, it was pretty cool anyways. And then he made the best diving catch I've ever seen. Definitely for him, but I've ever seen in a game for his age, backhand diving at shortstop, speared it just like again, one of those ones where there's zero time to react, just torched off the kid's bat. He's playing shortstop. He's right-handed. So glove is on his left, ball hit between him and third base, and just an immediate one step dive, reach out, just like maybe pulled it like, you know, 6 inches off the ground on his backhand, fully extended, rolled over, reached up with the ball, and everyone just went, wow, like that was pretty crazy. And so that was probably even better than the one off the wall was the catch. And Nice. He got the game MVP, which was kind of neat. And yeah, so it was a good day. I think he went 2 for 3, had another single, and then I can't remember how he got out, probably a strikeout. He swings for the fence, so it's boom or bust for this kid.
That's okay. See, I'm not a big strikeout fan, but if you got a lot of power, then it's okay. The trade-off is completely reasonable.
And he doesn't strike out a lot, but he did playing against good competition in the tournament. I think I want to say he was something like 6 for 9. All 3 of his outs were strikeouts.
Right. Well, yeah. But if you're going 6 for 9, that's okay.
Yeah. So at his level, 6 for 9 is I'm that's very acceptable. Yeah. A lot of kids just looking for walks. 3-0 count. We're telling our kids anything hittable, no walking unless there's just nothing hittable. Like I really think at the kid age, I really believe strongly in not walking. I'd rather them pop up, ground out, anything but take a walk. Yeah.
That'll come in handy later. When first of all, being a bad ball hitter is a great thing. My whole life, I was a bad ball hitter. I don't want to hit them. I want my 2-0. I want my pitch. Like I know my pitch, and hopefully Jack knows his pitch, and he's a left-handed hitter, so it's probably the exact same pitch as me. That's what we do as lefties. It's middle in, just above the knee. That's the pitch you want as a left-handed hitter. But when he does hit his home run, you should tell him. You should do what Uncle Alan does, because nobody else does this. No bat flip, no celebration, no trot. I just drop my head and run as fast as I can and get off the field. And no one else does that.
Okay. Well, he's going to, I'll tell him he should steal your move.
He should absolutely steal my move. And the baseball gods appreciate it. You'll hit more home runs.
Okay. All right. I'll let him know. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like if Steve Largent played Little League.
That was his thing. That's a good reference.
Yeah. That was his move. Just kind of politely hand the ball to the ref and go, okay, let's go. All right, that's enough baseball for this week. There'll be a lot every week. There's going to be a baseball update every week. So
okay, great. So we'll look forward to that.
We'll put markers that you can just skip ahead to. Yeah. Skip past it. Reminder, monthly challenge this month is evening sky. And I admit, I was getting nervous because there has been no sky until the last couple of days. So potentially I'll get one before next week, which is when we do this.
I also have not taken one. There's been lots of nice skies and I just haven't been prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually haven't even checked the Instagram yet to see if anybody, if Frank Pang's awoken from his slumber.
No, it's a horrible, horrible topic and they're going to be 0 participants other than ourselves.
All right. Well, it looks like you're picking the one for June then.
Okay. All right.
Do you know what it's going to be? Is it going to be something near Adam's desk?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be evening clouds. That's what I'm going
to do. Yeah. Yeah. The theme next month, just last minute. That's what it's going to be. Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Do that. So hashtag that 2hosers monthly challenge or hashtag hey hosers on Instagram, and we'll check that out. It's better if you tag both, because I don't want to miss any, because some people only tag hey hosers and I do catch them, but I did make a mistake last month, and I don't want to make mistakes. I think people take the time to shoot the photos and then post them and hashtag us, and then I make a mistake and miss them. I don't care for that. We appreciate everybody submitting and I don't want to miss it, so we'll check that out.
I second that notion.
That emotion.
Sure.
Okay. Smokey Robinson, right? Isn't that?
I know, but that's not what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was more of a notion.
Was his given name Smokey? No.
Yeah, definitely.
It's probably Don. Jimmy. Probably Don Robinson. No, because Jimmy Robinson, that's a cool name. Like, he probably played shortstop for the Brooklyn Dodgers, but Don Robinson, there's no way.
Okay.
So that's why you went Smokey.
We'll get to the bottom of that. There's a thing called the internet that has answers to these questions.
I'll just ask your son.
Okay.
He's a big, big Don Robinson fan.
Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I'm not sure if it's interesting, but I did.
No.
I did shoot some photos. I got a call in of a favor. Good friend of mine who this kid had their last spring hockey game. And uh-huh. He asked me if I would come out to the rink and shoot some action photos. So I did that. We don't really need to talk much about it, but I only was able to arrive coming from work, with the last like 40 minutes left in the game. And then, mm-hmm. you know, they had already said, you know, go right to the penalty box. It's okay with all the coaches. And then, you know, just try to take some action shots of the game. So you got 40 minutes, you got 15 kids or so. I don't know a lot of the kids. And so you're trying to make sure, or at least try to get a photo of every kid. Here's the thing about hockey and kids getting bigger, faster. Like, this is good hockey. This is, these kids are rep level players, 11 years old, good skaters. The speed of the game is moving significantly faster than what it was for my son's winter hockey team, which is kind of which is house hockey. Just the speed of the skating means a really increase in shutter speed, but they were playing in an exceptionally dark rink. And therefore I'm using the 70. This was the, what's called the pond. Oh, you know it. The pond.
Oh, it's six rinks.
Richmond Ice Center. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's six rinks, or is it eight rinks now?
There's six rinks, it's not called that. It's just called the Ice Center. But
yeah, we call it the dump because I think I've told you before, it's built on top of the old dump.
Right. And so some of the rinks in that facility are darker than others. This happens to be one of the darkest. So yeah. In order to, with the speed that these kids are moving, minimum that you could kind of shoot at is like 1/1000th of a second. You'd like it to be faster, but that's the minimum you can go with. At 1/1000th of a second to get an acceptable exposure, I'm at an ISO of 10,000.
That's excessive. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I can, like you say,
that's an F4, right?
That's at F4. Yeah. ISO 10,000, 1/1000th of a second. That's when you really kind of say, I wish I had the 70-200 F2.8. Like, it's just to get that extra light.
The 200
F2. Or F2, yeah. Something else to do that now.
Is there an F2? That's an F2, right?
Yeah, there is an F2. But again, here's the beauty of technology. I can very much turn F4, 1/1000th of a second, ISO 10,000 into acceptable images. I would prefer there be less digital noise, but they're very acceptable. And the action and the what you can capture on that, even with those settings, is still far superior than what anybody else can get.
Yeah, with their iPhones.
With their DSLRs, or like, again, anybody without pro gear, they can't. Yeah. They're going to be super thrilled at how good this looks. And I think as photographers, I think we're sort of critical because we're looking at everything kind of pixel peeping, looking at everything through a super zoomed in perspective. And mm-hmm. I think I'm more critical of that than anybody else is not going to look at it in the same way. They're going to go, wow, that's good action.
And also, like, when people say, oh, wow, like, that's really good, like, you basically just say, yeah, they don't just give anybody a podcast.
That's true. I do say that.
Which is nonsense, because they totally do. Anybody, they literally, if you want to, you can have a podcast.
But they don't know that.
Don't tell them.
Right. That's what I mean. I lie to people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Now go get me an apple fritter. Okay. Chop.
Exactly. Right.
Awesome. Now spring hockey, is it a good thing? Is Jack playing this year?
Okay. So here's the problem. Like, Jack, we've always taken a stance on forget spring hockey. Like, hockey season's long enough. You need to do different sports. And so baseball's been his other sport. So, you know, hockey during the winter, baseball in the spring and the summer. It's kind of a nice tandem. This year, he got asked to play on a couple spring hockey teams. We said no to all. And then good friends of his asked if he'd play on like a once a week 3-on-3 team. And it's just, they don't practice. They play one game a week. It's on a little, what's called an NTR rink, which is kind of like a tiny little rink, and you play 3-on-3 with a goalie. So we said yes to that. Unfortunately, we've made almost zero games. So I think they've had nine games. He's played in two, because we made it clear that baseball was going to be the priority because we need something else. And that if there was a conflict, it was going to be baseball. And we've made two games so far, which is basically, I think the cost of the spring 3-on-3 was $200. We're running at $100 a game so far.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, no, so you're paying that. You know,
that's what we're paying. So far,
it's been I thought he was getting paid.
No, he's not getting paid. So there are playoffs. So I'm hoping to bring the total cost per game down to about $50 a game. But
yeah, the CPG, I get the CPG down.
Yeah. And the thing about Jack is that the more he's missed, now the less interested he isn't even going to play.
You don't. So spring hockey's not a good idea.
It was never a good idea, and we learned our lesson. And this is
I think you knew your lesson. I understand. I'm not pointing my finger at you. This sounds like a friend thing versus we got to get our kid into hockey because otherwise he won't when he's 12.
None of that. Yeah.
Because there are, and you know what? Just to let you know, like there's idiots here. In the did you shoot anything interesting category? It's interesting to me. I'm not even gonna post a picture because I guarantee you it's not interesting. But to me, I was like in tears, man. Like I was such a huge crybaby. I might have issues.
Okay.
My daughter had her first gymnastics competition.
Oh, yes, you were. Yeah. Maybe we were talking about it off air, but there was mention of that last
week. Yeah, I had to do it. So my wife was, it was last weekend, last Saturday after we recorded. And so my wife was away. She was away for the weekend. And so she couldn't make it. And so I've been guilting her into it because she went to her friend's birthday up in Hamburg. So I was like, haha, well, you couldn't be bothered to make it out to her first one, huh? Because you get to go drinking. And, which they probably did. And, anyways, so I was very excited. So she had in the morning, she had her first. It worked out for me because it was our first game. My first game that season opener was at 1 o'clock, and I thought, oh man, like I'm gonna miss my game. Like I'm not missing my daughter's gymnastics competition, even though competition should be in quotation marks, really, because my daughter's not quite eight. She'll be eight pretty soon, right. but so really, it's like okay. The competition is nobody peed in their jumpsuit or whatever. What do you call those? The tights, whatever. Sure. Nobody peed in there. Everybody wins. That's the competition to see. Well, who I would can call not it, do that.
I would call it their unitard.
Something like that. I don't know. Whatever. So, but my daughter was very excited. I thought she'd be super nervous, but she wasn't. She was kind of dialed in. I was very impressed. And so we went to that, and I obviously shot photos of that. But it was really cool. Big gymnasium. There's I can't think of the English word. Turnverein, clubs, gymnastics clubs from all over the region come in different age groups. And again, they're all 7 years old, 8 years old. And so it's big giant gym. Gym's well lit because they have the top has glass all around, so the whole bunch of sunlight is pouring in, but not direct, and so it's pretty awesome. So whoever lit that gym, good for you. It worked out for me. But I had to shoot from the mezzanine, which means I'm shooting down all the time, and so the pictures aren't fantastic, except they mean a lot to me, so it's okay. But I was like, should I go down on the floor? And then I thought, don't be that dad. Like the guy, he's got to get in. Just leave it alone. Just get some shots for you, and don't worry about how pretty they are. And you know, shoot some video. Just document this and move on.
Right, agreed. But, I think that was the right decision.
Yeah, it's why I'm not posting any because I look at people because all the guys in the team. I came late to the game in that I missed the beginning of batting practice. Like I got the game was on time for the game, but so the guys were like, hey, yeah, so how was it? Like they're all nice guys. They don't really care how it was, but hey, how was it? And I was like, objectively boring. Like it was terrible, but I was in tears. Like I was like, there's my daughter down there doing her thing. Like she's so into it. And like, for me, it was like the greatest. Like I couldn't believe like, this is, what are we doing? This is amazing. You know, pretty emotional.
Yeah. You're kind of a wuss.
Yeah. but she finished 19th out of 50.
Okay. Right. Pretty much smack dab in the middle.
Well, top 38th percentile, but okay. but I didn't know they kept score because all her friends her best friend I think was 50th. Like, and I was like, oh wow, 50 out of 50. There you go.
You should retire now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. I said first of all, I can't believe they actually kept score because I was like, okay, how do you know? Like, because everybody up, they all look like they have two left feet. First of all.
Sure.
My daughter didn't she did the balance beam and did not fall off of it. So he jumped up and down a bunch of times. So didn't Sweet. Fall. So there, yeah. that, there you go. There's 19th. And, so anyways, yeah, I don't know why they kept score, but, bottom line is I better enjoy this while I can, because I don't think she's going to be a gymnast for long.
Right.
She's very tall.
Okay.
Like my daughter takes after her mother, who is very, is also very tall. Like my wife's much taller than me, and, not much, but relatively speaking, she is taller. So that's, you know, how it goes. Not a lot of tall gymnasts.
No.
So I'm going to try to kind of veer her into your daughter's world of dance.
Okay. Good luck. And get ready to spend all of your life savings.
Well, she also wants to be into the horsies, so...
You're already going down that road.
Yeah, I'm already dying in a... I don't know, something Charles Dickens. I don't know. I can't think of anything, man. All right. Challenge. Let's talk about photography, which I did allude to the fact that the gym was well lit, so it was good for photography. And you were alluding to the arena was poorly lit for bad. Yes. Technically a photo podcast.
Yeah, this is very much photography related.
Almost too much photography.
Yeah.
Challenge this week is Phil Flash, because I blew it last week, I think. I forget now.
I don't remember either.
Whatever. Let's have a look at yours first, because it's funny, because I shot mine, and then I ended up shooting, like, I shot mine basically as a safety, and then I ended up shooting a different one that will be my challenge later, but the one I shot as my safety was essentially identical to yours.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, you look at them. I mean, obviously, longer hair, but... All right, so let's have a look at yours.
This oh, is, yeah. No, I'm looking at it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, so here's mine. This is a friend of ours. We were over at their place, and I asked, you know, it was kind of, I can't remember exactly what time of day, but it's evening. It's a sunny day, and they have some flowers in their front yard, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to take a cute little kid picture. So
it's about 7 p.m.
Okay, all right. Did you
see my guess.
Is the EXIF data or no? I'm going to say that's probably a pretty good estimate. Around,
I don't think
around
there is EXIF data. Oh, there is. 7:21. I was way
there
off.
There you go. Good call. So yeah, it's 7:21. It's sunny outside, and we went on their front lawn, and 70 to 200. And I took like, okay, here's a no flash picture. And this is kind of what it looks like. Now I can't remember exactly how old she is, but let's say 7.
30.
It's hard to get. No, the age of the child.
Oh.
So in terms of getting her to look directly into the sun in a more evenly lit flash, evenly lit face, yeah, it's pretty tough to do with keeping their eyes open. So this is a real world scenario. You can't, hard to get little kids looking right at bright lights. So turn them sort of a little bit of askew to the sun and then fill in the shadow side of the face with flash. So my daughter's holding... an umbrella with a flash in it. And you see the color tones. I think the editing is exactly the same on both photos as far as the white balance and whatnot. But you see how the color of the light changes a bit with the flash. It's right. A little bit more blue light in terms of, you know, how orangey yellow the pure sunlight is. But it is pretty well balanced, and my daughter feathered the light in front of her, and you see a little bit of the gold sun catching her forehead, and then a little bit more of the blue light on the rest of her face, and yeah, just a nice little snapshot. I don't think it looks like flash. Like if I didn't show you the pre and post, I think most people wouldn't pick up that this is a lit photo.
Right.
But that's the point, right?
That is the point, actually. That's actually the point we're going to talk about during the topic section of the show. So glad you did that. Yeah, like you look, you again, you look at the, if you look at the photo, like your challenge photo, it's good. It's fine. Like it's, but then you look at the conditions, especially compare it to the no-fill version, which you posted the no-fill as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's night and day. It's 1,000 times better with the fill flash.
Right.
And, you know, we tend to love that sort of evening light. Although you kind of, I think you purposely put yourself in a position that you wouldn't normally.
Yes, with her. I did kind of exaggerate the situation, but the situation comes up.
It does, yeah. And I lately I've been like the last 5 years, I've been like, I don't want to use Phil Flash. You know, come on, we'll be fine, right? It'll look good. And then you see this, and you're like, oh no, I should be using Phil Flash. Like this makes all the difference,
right?
Now, the difference being, if you threw a quarter CTO on here, I wouldn't cry about it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, it's all, like, I agree. That's the first thing I thought is I should be using gels, but we're at a friend's house. She's agreeing. I'm worried about how quickly this is going to be agreeable. And I'm like, I'm doing this quickly and now and the end. And so, yeah, it was, I even had gels in the bag. I just wasn't even going to take the extra minute. And then when I you know, get home, I'm like, I knew in the back of the LCD, I'm like, good, this is a good example. This'll be fine. I was like, yeah, could have used the gel.
Yeah. But you know what, like the very impressive thing is here is that it's telling me you're using the 70-200 lens.
Yeah.
At a shutter speed of 1/160th.
Yeah.
And where is the focal length? I'm not seeing the focal length pop up.
It's probably close to the 200 end.
Yeah, it is. It's right on 200. There it is.
Okay.
It's 200. So the fact that you can actually hold this still, you're getting tack sharp around the eyes, that's really hard to do.
Yeah, and I think I popped... And the thing I did is I popped like 3 or 4... quick ones, and the flash goes probably on the first one, maybe part power on the second, and then none on the third. And my whole idea was, okay, I'm one or two are going to have flash, a couple won't, and then I'll just have the same scenario so that I can compare flash versus no flash. So it does help.
So you're on like full power here, maybe, or half power?
Probably half, maybe a little bit between half and full, but yeah, needed a lot of power from the flash. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. In order to overpower what's going on, but you managed. You still had a like an F4.
F
4.5 at 1/160th. So yeah, it wasn't like it was bright sunshine where you really need to get it in close and then you know shoot like an F11 or something like that.
But no. Yeah.
No, definitely looks good. Will you shoot more Phil Flash?
I like Phil Flash, yeah. And whenever I have the flash available and someone to hold it, I often will do Phil Flash just because I think it looks good.
And doing off-camera Phil Flash, like that's a commitment.
Yeah, I almost always do it off-camera.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what we're talking about today is off-axis. All right, let's have a look at mine. Mine is the magazine cover because I shot that last night.
Okay.
And there is Phil Flash. I did fill this in. We'll talk about my son's picture a little bit later in the episode. So we're playing, we have a tournament, or essentially a tournament, 3-game set against a Canadian travel team. Canadian college team's coming through here next weekend. So this weekend we're in Zurich playing. Next weekend we're playing at home against a bunch of 20-year-old Canadian kids.
Okay.
And so we wanted to put together a magazine cover to reflect that. They're called The North. That's the name of their travel team. So this was the idea. I actually was struggling with an idea. I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, what do we do for the cover? And then the other Canadian guy, the head coach of our team, said he knows I have a Wayne Gretzky Jofa helmet.
Okay.
And he said to me, well, you have to shoot something with the Jofa. That's all he said.
Okay.
Like, okay, well, now what? Like, I honestly don't know. Like, I want to play in, like, this is basically advertising to Germans about Canada. Like, what do they think about Canada? And the first thing out of their mind isn't Jofa helmet. So that was it. So I ran from there. I was like, okay, what are my options? And so this is what I came up with. Your turn.
I don't really like it. I love it. Yeah, no, this is awesome. This might be my favorite magazine cover that you've done for all of them, including years past. Oh yeah, this is awesome. This is everybody who uh, who listens to the podcast, if you don't go and on the website and look at the images every week, you're missing out on this one. This is a really I think I'm for the most part, I try to be fair. And when I don't like something, I think I'm, you know, critical and I'm just giving you my opinion. But this one's truly a great photo. And yeah, really, really like it. The idea, the concept is great. The framing, the background, where the text is, it's, I think it's your best. And it's not a gimmick. It's just all well done. I love it. It's got a guy as if he's sitting on the bench in a hockey game. He's got his skates on, his helmet, his hockey gloves. But then I unnecessarily, like, you could have just put a hockey stick or something else, but then he's holding.
I couldn't have. That was the problem. I almost did, but I could not secure one.
Yeah. And so it just looks better this way, though. I don't think I'd like it nearly as much if he had a hockey stick, but he's got, you know, the wooden baseball bat that sort of, when you first glance at it, almost just blends in as a hockey stick. But then you're like, oh, no, wait a second. It's a baseball bat and then the baseball. So it's just a nice hybrid photo that meshes it all together. And the colors are great. You know, sometimes the background on a magazine you think has to be very blank because it sort of can be distracting. This one almost is perfectly distracting. Like, it's just enough color that it makes it interesting. And so it's a weird scenario. You've got the gate of the dugout that frames the photo. Like, it's just everything works here. And yeah, great job. Cause I don't remember the last time I said truly, truly great job. And I think I need to do that too, right? Cause it's easy to just kind of pick things apart, but I have zero critiques. This is a fantastic cover for a magazine. So yeah, people should check it out for sure.
Well, thanks, man. The issues I was dealing with when, first of all, how do you light a dugout? Because, like, this is not what the light in a dugout looks like ever. Because you play during the day. Almost always, well, at our park, we don't have lights, right? So you play in the daytime. So what are you getting? Like, you're getting subdued light. You're like, this does not look anything like it. But I didn't want it to just look like a dugout. I wanted it to look cool, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, how do I light it? And so we show up at the park, and we had practice. So basically, me and Fannenbaker here, we left. He's one of the German guys, which was important. I wanted it to be one of the German guys because we're playing the Canadians, et cetera, et cetera. And he's never worn hockey helmet, gloves, elbow pad. He didn't know what the elbow pads were, right?
Okay.
And I was like, okay, well, fair enough. And he had worn skates before. Once or something like that. So that was fine. It was kind of weird because I don't think anybody's ever put my skates on besides me. So it's like, this is the first person to ever wear my skates that weren't me, which felt kind of weird to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways.
And now he has a weird fungal disease.
No, I think I usually wear socks, but... But anyways, and so I was like, oh, okay, so, you know, we'll sit him down here, and then how do you light the dugout? And so I ended up doing a camera left, there's a light. I shot two different versions. I shot one with a light in an umbrella, which is what you're looking at now, and then I shot one with a bare strobe, and because I was worried it wasn't going to pop enough with the umbrella, which it ended up, it does. But so camera left in the dugout is a light with an umbrella. Probably half power because there's no direct sunlight coming in, but there's enough direct light that I kind of have to kill as much ambient as I can. So it's got a half CTO on it. That's what's coming in as the key. And then just out of frame camera, right? Like just next to the screen is another speed light on like 1/64th power, a bare speed light with a quarter CTB. That's the fill. That's the fill we're talking about with the challenge, this week. Is that little fill, that little blue fill, which you can see on his left knee, camera right, that's a little bit bluer light.
Yeah.
And the same on his left side of the face, camera right, is a little bit, the shadows are a little bit blue there.
Yeah.
And this is something I read on the Strobist blog a while ago about how to mix those two, mix the shadow and all that. And it is one of the most valuable tips I've ever come across. Like, it makes a difference.
Yeah, and it's subtle enough that your eye doesn't notice it until you look for it. And so that's what's cool about it is that it just kind of all blends very well. But yeah, like I said, I really like this photo.
All right.
And the guy looks natural. Like some people, even kids, that sit on hockey benches all the time just look unnatural when you try to photograph them in this mm-hmm. sort of posture. And he pulls it off for someone who's never sat on a hockey bench and doesn't really necessarily know what it should look like. This is perfect. So,
well, that's the thing is I had to go and sit next to him. And I was like, cause he's like, he was like leaning back against the back at first. And I said, well, we don't have it. There's no backs on hockey benches. Right. So I had to go sit next to him. And like, okay, how would I sit? And I kind of sat there like, all right, yeah, here's how I would do it. Sometimes you put your hands up on the boards or something like that, but here's how you would sit. And then he basically mimicked that. And we picked him. And so I said to the Alex, the head coach, as like, we're talking about, he said Jofa, and I was like, okay, so who do we go with? Like, which guy do we go with? And he said, oh, you go with Fannabigger. He has the playoff beard.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, done.
Looks like Racky. He does,
we were picking stuff up. I'm like, yeah, he's like Joe Thornton, you know, but not so bushy. And you're right, he does look like Racky.
Put a split screen up of him with Racky.
I will do it.
And which Carl Racky.
I assume that makes me Dean Youngblood. So
sure. Yeah, sure it does.
Sure it does. Of course, me and Rob Lowe, spitting image. So anyways. All right. Topic this week is off-axis fill, as a matter of fact. So first of all, what is fill flash?
Added light to bring up shadows.
Yeah, just fills in the shadows. Because when you end up shooting well, even if you light it, like even if you have a light and an umbrella, you're still going to get shadows on that one side of in this case, face. And so you kind of want to bring that up a little bit. You want to reduce the contrast, bring up the shadows a little bit. And so typically, I say typically because I don't like to speak in absolutes because I'm sure there's always some exception. But I would say that your fill light is not brighter than your key.
Right. Generally speaking, I think that's the idea. Yeah.
I think always speaking, but I don't want to say always because you never know. I don't know.
Yeah, someone there's probably a situation. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what Michelangelo used to do. His fill was always brighter than it. Okay, fine. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But so I don't actually know it, but I'm going to go ahead and say that your fill is not as bright as your key. Like your key being your main light. Here, I'm lighting the scene. This is what's happening. The fill is less than that. It's just filling in a little bit extra. So normally, I would say we normally, but evidently not Adam, would normally think of fill as being like the on-camera flash, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like you see people shooting in the park a lot, you know, in the park or whatever, and they have the flash on. They're just basically, they're using a decent amount of ambient and just filling in the faces
right.
with on-camera flash. Okay, hopefully yeah. not the pop-up.
Right.
Hopefully it's at least a dedicated flash like a that fits in the hot shoe, but and that can be useful. I mean, you've shot some of that, no?
Probably in the early days, I almost never put a flash on camera anymore. I don't know. It's just either I'm all ambient or I'm going off camera, but
yeah,
that's just how I do things, yeah.
And that's what I mean is on camera direct flash, like, you know, so, and if you are going to do that, the main thing with on camera flash is to just have just a little hint of it, just to fill in the shadows without drawing attention to the flash, which is very easy to do. Like if you just put it on auto, you can tell, all right, this doesn't look good. This has got bad shadows. So if it's just a little to fill in, you can get away with it. I hate doing it. Adam hates doing it, but sometimes you kind of need to do it. That's fine. We're not going to argue. However, we want to talk about basically off-camera / off-axis, meaning lens axis, fill-in flash. So what's your first step? Like if you're going to go take the photo of your friend's daughter, what was your first step into taking that photo?
Figure out what the exposure is with the main light. In this case,
the ambient
light. Yeah.
Right. I mean, most times, I mean, like in my case, with my magazine cover, like it was lit. My key was, I did add that, but, oftentimes when we're talking about fill flash, we kind of mean, you know, you're shooting ambient and then adding something. So figure out the ambient exposure first. That's the move. And so, which is what you did. You exposed for the sunshine, keep the face, you know, sort of the highlights under wrap, don't blow up the highlights.
Right.
Right. And then we go ahead and add the flash to taste. That's much easier than just guessing, like so many variables happening, like, oh, what about this? I'll change this. Get that ambient dialed in first.
Okay. Yeah.
So off camera / off axis flash gives us a bunch of creative freedom. Also a bunch of challenges though.
Okay.
So first off, like it just in our thought process, most times we think about, I don't want to say we, because again, I'm speaking in absolutes, but we think about any off-camera flash as being a key light. Like it's not in our head that we think, oh yeah, it's always just the fill. It's normally it's the key light. Normally you're lighting something.
Right.
So let's try to think of this strictly as filling it in. Okay. So you might be... Let's back up. The main challenge. What is the main challenge using a bounce? Like, so we're on camera before we take the flash off the camera. We're gonna keep it on the camera and bounce it. So it's not on axis. It's coming from somewhere else, but it's still on the camera. What right. is the main challenge with that?
Being precise as to where that light is gonna fall.
Where it's going to bounce from and where it's going
to
end up.
Like it's going to be very inexact.
Yes. You have much less control. I also find that when you're outside, you don't have a ton of stuff to bounce it off of.
Yeah, that's true too.
So you will see the occasional photographer out there bouncing it off the clouds, which is nice, which I never quite understand. You're in a tough spot. Now you can go ahead and have your assistant hold up your bounce board or something like that and bounce it into that, which I have done. Not my favorite move of all time because there's a lot of variables like they're moving it around a little bit. You know, you move the camera, are you aiming the flash at the right spot? Fill flash with bounce can be done. It's not ideal. Outside, I'm talking about outside balancing in the like with sunshine, because whatever you're bouncing off of, as soon as you're bouncing it off something, you're going to lose a ton of power,
right?
And that's where it comes. So I tried to do this actually when I was shooting the pictures of my son, which we're going to look at in a second. Is I was shooting pictures of my wife outside. I was not anywhere near enough to her to have any of it register. On full power, my flash was just dying off the white wall. It just wasn't spitting out enough to deal with that sunshine. So if you are forced to do that, basically try to keep your flash as close to the whatever you're bouncing it off of, a wall or whatever it is, try to keep as close as you can to minimize that loss, and consequently keep your subject as close to you and that object as you can. Otherwise, you're going to find out that you just don't have enough.
Right.
So the good news is it's fill light. So you're not doing the overabundance of lighting. So hopefully if you position your subject correctly, like a 3/4 backlight or something like that, which is that what you did with the girl? Did you have her looking directly in the sunlight?
No. So she was kind of sort of side positioned and then the flash is really close to her in order to create enough fill. Yeah.
Right. And that's off camera. But if you're looking at the picture before you've added a flash, sort of like a 3/4 light. So we see those shadows coming across.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you had her like backlit entirely, then you'd need a whole lot of light.
Oh yeah. You need even more power to overcome that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's an awful lot. So the good news is especially when you're bouncing is that you usually just need a flick of light, to do the trick. But oftentimes to get that little flick of light, you need full power. So basically pay attention to your lighting ratios. Make sure your fill isn't overpowering your key. So now the off camera part. And this is the part. So my son's shot, by the way, just to bring that up, that's actually his bounce. I wanted to give an example of bounce, but I had to basically bring him very close to the house in order to bounce it off the house and into his face.
Okay.
So you, you can see the catch lights in his eyes aren't dead center. So you can see this isn't directly in his face. Very similar lighting to the picture of your friend's daughter, like the three-quarter lighting, which you can see by the ball cap especially. And then compare it to the no flash light, and you can tell which one I like better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So makes all the difference. However, off camera, Phil, this is the wheelhouse. This is where you get to be good like Adam. Now, it can still be on axis if you like, but you're probably not going to. So this gives you a lot more freedom. Also can be very, very challenging. Whenever you do this, do you have a preference, hard, soft?
I like soft, but again, it just all depends on whether or not I have a helper and, you know, if I'm doing this outside in a wind protected area. Like, I like umbrellas for the ease of use and an umbrella stand, but outside where I live, close to the water, it's often too windy. So then it's easier to go with a flash and hard light because I don't have to worry about it blowing over. But in this case, I had a helper who could hold the umbrella and the flash. And so if all other variables of nothing blowing over and tipping over and a helper is available, I'll take the soft light as long as I can generate enough power.
Well, there's the issue. So now, do you have a shoot-through umbrella?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a reflective umbrella as well?
Yep.
Which do you prefer in the case of filling in?
The shoot through. I like the shoot through better. Because too much power loss with the bounce.
Okay.
That's what I find. I mean,
you're right, but I want to be clear on why.
Okay.
No, you're absolutely right. There is. I actually find that just when comparing just direct comparison about light output, there is more loss. I find with the shoot through, until you talk about the horsepower at the back wheels, the engines are putting it out. But because you're with a reflective umbrella, because of the nature of it, because you're shooting into it and coming back, you cannot get that umbrella as close to your subject as you can with the shoot through.
Exactly, it's quite a bit further away.
Yes, and so then in that respect, you are by the time it gets to the back wheels, being your subject. Horsepower is gone, even though it's spitting out more. Now, but being able to get the shoot-through umbrella just millimeters out of frame and right next to your subject, you're getting so much more falling onto them.
Right. And I also think, you know, again, for me, if I'm in this case using my daughter who's holding it, it's far less frustrating for me to hand her the shoot-through umbrella, position it just out of frame, and hold it there versus have her make adjustments with the reflective umbrella is infinitely more frustrating. And like I say, there's the power loss thing for sure, but then there's the more difficult to get a helper version. So as much as I do like the reflective umbrella, I use it in studio-only situations. It's not something I would use outside in this kind of scenario.
Right. And one quick way to adjust. I mean, if you're shooting and you're like, okay, a little bit too much fill, you can ask your voice activated light stand, in this case your daughter, just back that off just a couple of millimeters. Like just like because if you're with the reflective, you kind of have to move it a little bit more to get results. But because you're in so close that if you're 2 centimeters out of frame, or right by your subject. And you move it 1 centimeter back, percentage-wise, that's already quite a ways back. Do you know what I mean? Like relative to the distance. Yep. Whereas if you're 2 feet away and you move it 1 centimeter, it's not going to make much of a difference. And so you can fine-tune it. You can have your daughter pull that just back rather than go over and dial it down a little bit. Like, all right, I'm 2/3 of a stop hot. Just pull it back a centimeter, and all of a sudden it's going to fall in just right. So it's nice to fine-tune that way. So yes, I myself also prefer the shoot through umbrella. But I also really like hard light too. Like hard light is challenging, but if angled correctly can look really cool you can make it look very flattering. And it, I'm trying to think of like fill versus key because I'm thinking of the example I shot that I'm seeing, by the way, that I'm seeing pop up everywhere lately is the shot I shot of Carolla in his racing suit, that was hard light, which I guess is acting more of a key than it was a fill in this situation. So I kind of wish I hadn't brought it up now. Point being,
you just wanted to plug the photo that you took of Carolla because it's showing up in.
I did. It's actually showing up everywhere right now.
Shoehorn of, hey, let me tell you why I'm awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping the latest game day will start showing up on Carolla stuff now.
Okay.
Which would be kind of weird. I don't know why it would, but maybe he'll use it. I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway, I do like using hard light as well, which I find is if you angle it correctly, it's very flattering. If you don't, it's very unflattering. So it's not very forgiving if you miss, but I like either or. I do like using soft light when I can.
Okay.
So the one other thing, two things to consider that I would say, three things to consider. I'm making it three. Three is the answer. First, keep your lighting ratios in mind. Now, you can look at what, you know, look through the LCD and just think what looks good, but if you're actually want to assign a number value to your key light, your main light, and then the degree of light like on your shadows, do you have an idea of what a good ratio would be?
No idea.
Okay, so generally you're looking at like 3-1 is about right. I say right again, more absolutes, but it's what we like. It's what your eyes tend to like. So a 2-1 ratio is basically one stop. One stop of light means twice the light.
Okay.
So if your one side's f4, the other side's lit to 2.8, you're going to see a little shadow. It's not a ton, but it's about a 2-1 ratio. It's pretty, 2-1 is pretty flat. 4-1 is actually kind of a little bit contrasty at that point. So that's two stops difference. So you kind of want to be in the middle. So 3-1 ratio is 1.5 stops. That's about what we see on television. That's what just the general lighting.
Okay.
So anything beyond that, you don't really want to go too much. It's just 1-1 is just not fill anymore. That's just, you're just butterfly lighting. And then after clamshell lighting, I mean, and anything more than that, you're not really using fill anyway. So kind of just keep that in mind. Second thing to keep in mind is what we talked about with Adams is the colors. Now, the shot with my son was sort of shot, it was probably around the same time as the one you shot of the girl. And we're on the very similar parallel. I think you're 49, we're 50. So it's about the same time of night, the evening. It was pretty yellowy sunshine. And so I actually had added a half CTO to my bounce flash for that reason, which you can kind of see, and the skin tones are a little bit yellowy. Mm-hmm. They kind of match the background. And then the shot with Fannabaker there, I purposely went CTO on the key light and the CTB on the fill to offset that. So even though I'm Joe colorblind, I love mixing colors like this. So I would recommend if you don't have a gel pack, pick one up. Come in wildly handy, especially in filling in the situation. And last, the biggest issue I find with off-camera fill, especially in sunlight, is it can be camera shake. Because you nailed it. Like the shot of that girl is fantastic. Like I took a bunch of the cover ones to make sure. Because I'm racking the camera out, the lens out at 200 mils. I'm limited to 1/160th of a second shutter speed because I'm not shooting high speed sync off camera.
Right.
And so at 200 mils and 1/160th, any little vibration is going to translate into a blurry picture.
Right.
And that's where I find the biggest issue with off-camera fill, because you're now limiting yourself. If you're using a bounce board, you can shoot at 1/2000th of a second, your problems are solved.
Right.
You're forcing yourself at a low shutter speed. So this is kind of where I appreciate having the image stabilization, the VR, etc. So there you go. That is off camera off axis fill light, fill flash.
Great.
Monthly challenge for next week is our, weekly challenge is our monthly challenge next week. It is evening sky. Make your Burt Reynolds, is it a Burt Reynolds joke? Did we do that? We beat that to death.
I think you did, last week.
Okay. Yeah, a couple weeks ago. We'll see. Either way, good stuff. Hilarious stuff.
Yeah.
Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag that Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we'll check that out. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com. Two of us at TwoHosers.com. Where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.